Praise the Lord. Are you guys ready for the word here tonight? Yeah, praise the Lord. I'll tell you, the word is good, and the word will work for you if you give it first place. Amen. You want to put the word first place in your life, and whatever the word says is. The word is the title deed to what you're believing God for, and as long as you have the word on it, everything in heaven and earth will submit to that word. The word becomes greatest if you make it greatest. You have to have an all-out tenacity to hold to the word of God and make it supreme, and everything else will submit, not based on how good you've been, not based on if you've done everything right, but based on the character integrity of the one who gave the word. See, I don't know any of you guys as well as I would know, you know, those that are in my close proximity. I could look at Reverend Tony and I know that what he tells me will be good because I have close fellowship with him. How much more your Heavenly Father that sent his only begotten Son to die on your behalf, that what he says he will also perform. How do you know? Because Jesus. Jesus didn't go up to the cross and then said, hey. He did and was tempted in the wilderness. Hey, Father, take this cup from me. He says, nevertheless, not my will, your will be done. He didn't halfway do it. He went all the way through it based on the integrity of the one that sent him to do it. So if he said it in the word of God, I have to make that the final authority in my life. And if you take the word of God and you hold it before him, Father, you said this. Therefore, because you said this, I can bank everything that I am on what your word says, because it's coming out of the mouth of the Almighty God. Everything has to submit to the word. Sickness, disease, poverty and lack. Every demon and demonic spirit here in this world has to submit to the authority of the word. There were things that were established before the foundations of the earth on your behalf, and it's your job to not stand in a place of ignorance of the promises that are made available to you. But you need to take hold of the word of God and say, I've got the word right here, right now. And once your faith is established around the word and the substance has grown of your faith on the inside of you, every circumstance will submit to the greater one on the inside of you. And demon, sickness, disease, poverty and lack, if you don't like what the word says, you take it up with the one that said it. Don't look to me. I'm as subject to this as you are. I'm standing in the authority that God, my Heavenly Father, has given to me. You got a problem with that, you take it up with him. When he says that by his stripes I am healed, you take that up with him, sickness and disease. When he says that he provides every single one of my needs according to his riches and glory, lack, you take that up with him. I didn't come up with these rules. I didn't make this up myself because I'm trying to be some poetic person. I entered into the family of the Most High God. He said it. You got a problem with it, you take it up with him. You need to have a boldness and a tenacity that this word of God is most near and dear to you. And if you hold on to it like everything else, that when the attack of the enemy comes, you say, Father, this is what your word said. This is what's coming against me. So you take that word to the enemy. You take that word to the resistance. You take that word to the accusation. And you said, you take it up with the one that sent me, the greater one on the inside of me. You take it up with what he said because he came up with this deal. You understand? See, I'm pushing you right now because the whole mamby-pamby, hey, let God be God, and if it be thy will, let it be done. Nothing's never going to happen in your life. You got to have a tenacity with the word of God and a fight and a boldness on the inside of you because either this is the word of God or it's not. And if it's not, let's go home. I'm not trying to be combative to you right now. I'm just saying there's so much through the blood of Jesus Christ that was given so that you could walk in the fullness of what his word says. That I don't want to be disrespectful of what's already been done on my behalf. He prepared everything for me according to his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for you, that I don't want to go for less than what was provided, to be disrespectful for that which was prepared on my behalf. It would be disrespectful if someone worked all day making a meal and spread it out before me and I showed up and said, you know what, I'm not hungry. That would be a slap in the face to whoever prepared that meal. And God, through his son Jesus Christ, made preparations for you in every single area of your life. Everything that you're going through and dealing with right now, he made provision for you. And it's your responsibility to come to the knowledge and revelation of what he has and take him by his word. Father, I may not understand what you've done fully through Jesus Christ, but I see in your word that you'll meet and provide all and every single one of my needs. I'm going to take you at your word. Help me in the understanding of what you've done so that I don't disrespect what you've done. Jesus died, and rose again for you so that you could have a full supply in every single area of your life. Let's walk in the fullness of it. Let's walk in the fullness of what he's done for us. Amen. Glory to God. You got to have that hunger and that boldness for the word of God. Yes, I know you've been going through hell on earth. Yes, I know the inflation from your day-to-day living. Yes, I know the darkness and the resistance that we've been going through as the body of Christ. But you need to man up. I'm not trying to be correct because I know there's ladies, but you understand my terminology. You need to stand up and start flexing with attitude and making a stand and having done all to stand, therefore, with the word of God. To stand in your place of authority to move the plan of God forward here on planet Earth. Praise God you're saved. Praise God that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but there's multitudes of people dying, going to hell every single day that need to know what you know. Don't be tripped up in your day-to-day nonsense, if you will, for lack of a better term, because there's so many distractions that the enemy comes that we lose sight of the greater one that's on the inside of us. There's so much distraction through social media right now that I look out and I see people that went to the Reverend Greer meetings, and praise the Lord. I appreciate the fact that, you know, we just got done in Jamestown. Reverend Randy Greer was at our church this past week, and Pastor Edwin Anderson for the morning service. And I see faces of people that were a part of those services. Well, praise the Lord. That means a lot to Pastor Tim. And I'll tell you, there's a reward attached to those things. But he said that the attention span of a human on average was what, 8.25 seconds? 8.25 seconds. I mean, that's like spiritual ADD, you know what I mean? It's like 8.25 seconds. It's been a training because, you know, like I'm not, you know, I don't live in a four-wall secluded house without, you know, TV or social media or a phone or something like that. So I know what it is, but you know, those social media platforms with the TikTok and stuff, it's like, yeah, watch, flip, 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 flip. Oh, yeah, that's funny, ha-ha, flip, flip. And we're in that training of, hey, if I'm not instantly stimulated, flip, 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 flip. Well, we're going to get into some things here tonight because we want to take a look at what the Word of God has to say. And tonight we're going to actually talk about endurance, a little bit of endurance. And if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Galatians chapter 6. And we'll start here. This will be a good starting point for us. But listen to what the Word has to say. We don't want to be 8.25 seconds, but yet 8.25 hours on social media and everything else that distracts. I mean, yes, we work. Of course, you have jobs. You have responsibilities. It's not saying don't live life. You have to function. You have to go to job, have to go to school, have to go to whatever your day encompasses. Okay, yeah, but all our time and energy is invested in that and nothing in the things of God. when your spirit man is the one that's born again and needs, you know, strengthened and fortified and fed and different things like that. Amen. Our spirit man is the one that needs to come out and be the display to this world. And I want to talk about some things because in Galatians chapter 6, you're familiar with these passages, but I want to start right there in verse 7 because I just want to kind of lay a foundation of where we're going to go. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, "Be not despised, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And it goes on to say, "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap." Now, I've done it, and you can apply it to the realm of finances, sowing and reaping. Sowing seed into the ground reaps a harvest. And we said, yes, we're sowing seed into good ground. Harvest is imminent. I prayed it when we were giving our offerings. And that's how that principle works, because there is a law that is in effect. There are spiritual laws that govern our time here on earth, but that are established in the kingdom of God. Just like we have the law of gravity. If I were to take this Bible right now and hold it up, if I let go of this, what's happening to it? It's going to fall and hit the ground. Why? Because the law of gravity is in effect. It doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what race you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, you jump off a roof, you're hitting the ground. Why? Because there's a law that is in place. Unless you have a supernatural, you know, God experience like Jesus when he walked on water and then he superseded natural law. But that is by far the exception and not the rule. The rule is, thank God for the law of gravity. Otherwise, some of us would be floating around, crawling around on the ceiling right now. So praise the Lord for gravity to be in place. But also the same thing concerning sowing and reaping. There's a spiritual law that is in place. How dumb of a farmer right now. Obviously, it seems like, well, I know we're supposed to get some snow through the night, and, you know, hey, it still is March, you know, that's the whole in like a lion, out like a lamb, and vice versa kind of a thing. Well, it's been the exception here, too, that we've had some good warm days and stuff like that. But come springtime and come planting time, a farmer plants a seed into the ground. How stupid of him, excuse my not etiquette speech in saying stupid, but I want to show you some other things here in the Word of God that will reciprocate what I'm saying. But if he plants a seed in the ground, he doesn't go back the next day and be like, well, this didn't work. No, he understands that a seed planted, that there's going to be eventually a due season. So he doesn't go out and curse the seed. Well, this didn't work. All this was for nothing. No, he understands the process, that it starts with a seed planted into the ground for the eventual due season where I will reap the harvest on the seed. He understands that there's a sowing and a reaping law that is in place. And it's the same thing in your life spiritually. What you sow is what you will reap. And we have to understand that there's a space of time from the time that the seed of the word is planted on the inside of you before you can reap a harvest. By his stripes I'm healed. Well, I don't feel any different. Must not work. No. Take the seed, the incorruptible seed of the word, plant it in your heart, and then there is a space in time that is your responsibility to water, to nurture, to feed by the word of God, waiting upon your due season. Understand these things. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. He says, and in due season you'll reap if you faint not. So there must be, from the time I plant something to the time of harvest, there must be opportunities to faint. That's what it's saying. Anybody can plant the seed of the word of God, and it's fun when we walk into harvest, but many people don't give to the harvest because they get lost in the process from the time the seed is planted till the time the harvest comes. I'm going to turn with me, if you will, over to Mark. I believe it's chapter 4. we'll find it here. It's either Mark chapter 4 or 5. Yes. Mark chapter 4. Let's start right there in verse 26. And this is what he says. And he said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, he knows not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come." So he's saying, the kingdom of heaven is a man who sows seed into the ground, and he sleeps and rises day and night. And he says, then all of a sudden it starts to grow. He says, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. So he's saying, your faith and your Christian walk and how the kingdom of God operates is on a sowing and reaping basis. And when you start seeing the blade, don't curse the blade by saying, well, that's not enough. Well, that's not what I believe. That's your blade. That's not the full corn. That's just the process. So understand the process by which the promises of God and the kingdom of God operate in your life. And someone who understands the process says, you know what? That's just the blade. And I'm not going to curse it because it hasn't become the fullness of my healing. I'm going to rejoice because I see a blade. This process that you said, Jesus, in your word is now happening. So I'm starting to see little glimpses of this. I'm not cursing it. I'm blessing it. And I'm rejoicing in it because I know that's going to be the full corn in the ear eventually at some point. It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. But I'm going to rejoice in the process. He gave me a recipe. And if he's given me a recipe, I can stand on the side of harvest already. I planted the seed. I know I planted the seed. And he says that the man, he sleeps night and day, and it begins to grow. He doesn't know how. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how you gave me a word, and as I'm speaking the word and releasing my faith, that I'm going to get one day the physical manifestation of what I'm saying. I don't know how that works. This comes in a realm of faith according to your kingdom. I don't know how. I just know that as I give myself to this process, that one day I'll walk into the full harvest of it. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. And in due season you'll reap if you faint not. If you faint not. We want to talk about some things here tonight. And I'm telling you, I'm just laying foundation. This is foundation. This stuff here was not in my notes. But you have to understand that there's a process to your faith. There's a process. So we want it. We want a Chick-fil-A my way right away. We want a McDonald's drive-thru my way right away. I don't want to wait. I don't want to have to go through the process. I need help now. I need help immediately. Well, praise God for miracles. Praise God for the spectacular. Praise God for the ministers with healing endowments that can lay hands on you and you get immediate results. But I'm telling you what, that is the exception, not the rule. The kingdom of heaven operates on sowing and reaping. And I'm telling you, press into the one who's given you that process. Press into the one to get to know the healer, get to know the provider. Like Pastor says, it's not what you have, it's who you have. You have the healer on the inside of you. You have the provider. You have the peace giver. You have the joy giver. You have the protector on the inside of you. Press into the process of those things and build the confidence that, hey, it may not look like it now, but one day there's coming a due season and I'm going to be all up in the harvest of my healing, of my provision, of my joy and my peace. Amen. Turn with me, if you will, over to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to camp out a little bit in the book of Hebrews in that area because we need to get some of these things. I'm telling you, we need to build our faith, strengthen our faith. And I want to show you some scripture here that I believe will be a good help to you. In Hebrews chapter 6, look what the word says in verse 12. And he says, actually, let's go up to verse 10 because this is a good verse. I got this highlighted in my Bible. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. I'm telling you what, every time, you know, the Department of Helps, the people that give, you showing up here right now is not forgotten of the Lord. You've taken and gone out of your way on a Saturday night to be in the house of the Lord to get the word of God for the equipping of yourselves, for the perfecting of the saints, the word says, for the work of the ministry. You've taken it upon yourself because you love Jesus that you showed up here tonight. That speaks volumes. And our Heavenly Father that calls my love evil, that loves you more than anything else in this world, recognizes that. I need to tell you that you are recognized here tonight for the work that you've done. God loves you. You do matter. You do have purpose here on this earth. This earth wouldn't be the same here without you. It's not based on your age. It's not based on if you've been saved or born again for 50 years or if you just got saved. You matter because you matter to God. And he says, if you show up on my behalf, I won't forget that. That's how much you mean to me, the Lord's saying. So he says that he doesn't forget your righteous labors. In verse 11 says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. But look what he goes on to say in verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. And I love what that says, because he says that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So faith and patience inherit the promises during that process of your faith. Faith and patience. If you look up that word patience, you know what that means? Endurance. Endurance. Meaning there's going to be a requirement of you to stick with the process. There's going to be an endurance that has to develop on the inside of you, because like I said, my way right away. I want it right now. God, you said this, where is it? I still have bills that need paid. I still have a sickness in my body. I still have an ache or a pain. I still deal with anxiety and worry. Where is it? Where is it, Father? I'm telling you, it's going to require faith, your faith in the process, and endurance. And it's so funny because it says that you be not slothful. So here I'm going to justify my statement from a while ago about being stupid. You know what that word slothful means if you look it up in the Greek? Sluggish, lazy, or stupid. He's saying, don't be stupid. He says, through faith and patience, you'll inherit the process. So in other words, don't be ignorant, sluggish, or slothful to the process. Don't be stupid of this fact that it's going to require something on your behalf. It's going to take faith, but not faith alone, endurance. So we're bringing to a place of elementary. It's like, hey, don't be stupid about this. Like, this is like, you don't be stupid. You do realize this is going to cost something. You do realize this is going to require something on your behalf. God's on a position where it's like, hey, I've given you everything through Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. It's already in place. It's not on my side that you go without. It's going to be you not fainting because you've embraced endurance. It's going to take your faith in believing what he said, but then it's going to take your persistence and endurance to get the full corn in the ear. There's something there that has to be in place, endurance. Don't be stupid to think that it's not going to require endurance. That's what he's saying. Don't be slothful in this. Don't be lazy or sluggard. You do realize that it's going to take endurance to walk into the promises. You know, it's so funny to me, and maybe you guys are aware of this, but there's something about that word endurance. There's something about the endurance, and here's a good analogy. Now, we can think of the Olympics, and actually this is an Olympic year, 2024, so we are going to be getting into the Olympics this year. Now, everybody in the most spectacular, maybe y'all beat to a different drum per se, or have different appreciations for different events that are in the Olympics. But me, it's that 100 meters. I'm telling you what, it's that 100. So we can list the Usain Bolt, the fastest man that ever lived. We could list Justin Gatlin. We could list Carl Lewis, Jesse Owens, like some big names that have set the marks in that 100 meters. We have the women. There's the fastest woman right now in the U.S. is Sha'Carri Richardson. If you've seen that, I mean, phenom. I mean, super fast. But you remember Flo-Jo, you know, Florence Joyner. You remember she set the bar and established records. Can anybody tell me any distance runners? And maybe you do know, because maybe that's your thing. Maybe you're a distance runner. But like, so here's the thing. Like, I looked up some of these names because I'm like, oh yeah, I remember these names. And you've heard these Olympic names. I didn't even want to look up a distance runner because it doesn't interest me in that. And maybe that should be, you know, something I should take upon myself. But everybody likes the sprinter. Everybody likes the right here, right now. They like the explosion in the start. And you just see nothing but power and muscle like a horse taken out of a gate. And you see everything to be the fastest man or woman alive at the time. The number one in the world in the Olympics. And that's exciting. And it's a quick burst of energy. And it's like an explosion of a firework where it goes up and boom, and it's just bright and it's energizing and exciting. That's not endurance. That's what we want to see. That's not endurance. That is the quick bang that everybody can start. Everybody likes the seed part. Everybody likes the conception part. But very few like the endurance part to walk in the finality of harvest. There's something about those that appreciate endurance. Because in a marathon, they are what, 26 miles to run a marathon? Mile 20, sprinters aren't there. Well before that, the sprinters aren't there. Everybody started. Everybody likes to start. Everybody gets excited at the word of God. We know the enemy tries to come and steal the word. Everybody gets real excited and they want the sprinter and they just want a quick, painless effort applied with an immediate harvest. But those that appreciate endurance, they're not fazed or affected because they know the process. They've kept their eyes on the manifestation in the finish line. So come mile 15, come mile 20, come mile 23, 24, 25, they know that their prize and the manifestation is coming. When they come to that point of the latter part of the race, they look different when they started. You don't look good at mile 20. You look dead. You look winded. You look like you're ready to fall over and faint and quit. Yes. If you faint not. And don't mistake endurance for weakness. You don't know the conditioning that I've ran and paid to get to where I'm at. I'm saying that as myself. You don't know the person sitting next to you, the endurance that they're going through on a daily basis to stand in the fullness of God's promise. Don't try to judge them saying, well, you should be further here. Well, why aren't you there? Well, you should be doing this. No, 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 no. Endurance is not weakness. Weakness is mile 2 when everybody else fell out and you kept going. when you decided to take the word of God and say, I'm moving forward in the things of God, come hell or high water. I'm going to take the word of God. I might have to crawl. I might have to walk at times, but I will see this word through. I'm telling you, when you've established endurance, see, there's something about those that have gone through that process in endurance. Because here's the thing, what used to once bother you and wig you to the point of failure no longer has that sway on you. I'll tell you what, okay, me naturally right now, I could probably run here to the, maybe to the end of the parking lot. I'm winded, straight up. I'm not a runner. I like to go to the gym. I like to try to do some cardio and lift some weights, try to put my flesh under and different things like that. I'm not a runner. So if I ran to the end of this parking lot, dear Lord Jesus, am I going to die? Is this the big one? Are we going home? Come, Lord Jesus, come. And then I will feel the effects of it for the next couple of days because all of a sudden my legs are now sore. I'm fatigued. I wonder to myself, why did I even do that? But the marathon runner, they will run to the end of the parking lot and it was like they never even did anything. The first couple of miles are just a warm-up for them. They're used to running and paying the price of endurance that come mile 26, now they've given their full all and they've accomplished the reward in the prize. And I'm telling you, spiritually speaking, when you've established that endurance, the things that used to get you off track before, the things that were a hindrance and a bother and a standstill for before are no longer an issue for you. When I was newly saved, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? I can't believe it. Jesus, you said this, and where is it? And we're freaking out of our heads. But once I've established endurance, it doesn't even bother me anymore. Hell crashes down from different areas. We all go through different tests and trials. But the character that has been molded according to the endurance on the inside of me no longer flips out and tries to crack someone, doesn't flip somebody off and cuss them out. I've had an endurance now that those things don't bother me or affect me. I've trained and developed where that first mile before I used to have, it had a very adverse reaction on my behalf. Endurance was not in place. I had little endurance with people, with things, wondering why things weren't happening at a more rapid pace. But the more that I've decided to run, the things that once bothered me at that point no longer bother me. Why? I'm in a race and endurance has been established. Those little things, and hey, we're all at different levels and we all build each other up. But there's certain people, and it's not even attack on Christians or anything, but other people, like, you know, if you work in a secular work field, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to believe God. Like what's the big deal? Like this is what puts you over the edge? Like you're going like one little hiccup, and all of a sudden, this is what's freaking you out? No endurance. You're a sprinter, and then you fainted. But those that have established endurance, this is mile one. Like, I'm not stupid. I understand the process for what I'm believing God for. So this is to be expected come mile one or mile two. This is understood. I'm not stupid in this anymore. I'm now educated according to how the kingdom of God works. So I'm one foot in front of the other. You know, this is ending your life, but I'm understanding this is part of the process, and it gives me an opportunity to believe God so I can see the full corn in the ear. And you'll see that and that stability of character that comes on the inside of you when you believe God and work together with God and you've established that endurance. I'll tell you what, if you've established endurance, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. There's people, I'll tell you what, and I remember Pastor Kate. You remember Pastor Kate? Well, there's a story, and this is just coming to me right now. She ran a 5K, and she put her flesh on her and was running this race, and there was a girl that was with her that was walking over the course of, you know, getting down to that last mile or half mile. And Pastor Kate saw her, and she nudged her. She's like, come on. And she picked it up, and she started running. Now, it wasn't, hey, we're not sprinting to win this thing. the key is that you're not fainting in the midst of it. The key is that's like, hey, I see somebody's stability and I want that. I see someone that has paid the price, weathered the storm, endurance is in place. I'm not stupid to this process, so I'm attracted to the endurance. Yes. Yes. It requires your faith, but faith without the endurance and the patience, he says you need them both. You got endurance, I'm with you, because I need to condition myself to walk into more. I need to build up the strength and stamina to walk in the fullness. Not for me, always necessarily, but for everybody else, that I walk in the fullness of the supply that I have to give to this world. See, when it's about you, you can accept a level of defeat because it just affects you. I don't really care about this so much. I do. I need your supply. You need my supply. So I'm going to purpose to take upon endurance to walk in the fullness so that other people can be helped. Hey, I'm not saying there's any shortcuts here. I'm not saying that this is going to be a cakewalk and some easy pickings to get into the promises of God. He's already given them. Now the responsibility falls with me. Let's go. I'll show you. Let's work together to motivate in this endurance. Release our faith and let's keep moving. There's no one falling behind in this because we have a job that needs done right here and right now. Amen. Amen. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 10. It's only a couple pages over. I want to just lay this right down in here. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Verse 35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. That word confidence, I like this. It says, all outspokenness, frankness, bluntness, assurance, bold. It says, cast not away your confidence, your boldness. It's going to take something. It's going to take a tenacity and a boldness to put one foot in front of the other and keep moving forward. Why? Because you're resisted every day. And in case you didn't know, the lowercase god of this world, Satan himself, has jurisdiction here. He doesn't usurp Trump over your authority as a born-again believer and Christian and child of God, but there is an adversary here on this earth, and his name is Satan. And he will do everything to resist you, but that's your job to wake up every day and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So you need to take your authority in doing that. And so I like he says, cast not away your confidence. Cast not away your frankness, your bluntness, your boldness. Meaning you're going to have to stand and posture yourself that you're not a pushover. Because the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You're not a pushover. If you were a pushover, you'd be dead right now. If Satan could kill you, you would be dead right now, and you would have no effect on the generations to come or this time moving forward. Come, Lord Jesus, come to the rapture. You would be dead if he could. So when he's saying, cast not away your confidence, he's saying, posture yourself with a little boldness. Well, that's not my personality. Well, the devil doesn't care. I'm a diplomat. I love people. I've never fought in my life to anyone as much as I felt like it. Sometimes we've all been there. I love people. I'll talk my way through and amongst everything. I've had people right in my face looking to throw down, and I've had to excuse myself and push myself away from those things. I'm not combative in my personality. I'm not seeking out a fight until the thief comes. You better do something if he's breaking into your house. You better do something. Don't just lay there and take one for the team, because you're not taking one for the team in God's family. So he's saying you need to posture yourself with a little grit. Well, yeah, but, you know, if it's the Lord's will, if it be thy will, just let him just do whatever. No, no, no. He puts you there to establish his will and you enforce it. And so if you have to have a little bite in you, then that's what you have to do. Because he says there's great reward to this confidence that you have. He goes on to say in verse 6, he says, For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. I like what it says in the Amplified. They want to bring that up. It says, for you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. So he says, you have need of faith and patience, or you have need of steadfast patience and endurance. And so when he's saying that, he's like, you have need of one thing. He's like, make sure your confidence is bold. And he says, you have need of endurance. There's something that you need. It's not, I'm not talking faith here. I'm not talking that you need a miracle. Those are all good and wonderful. I'm not saying that you need, you know, more education, knowledge. You have need of one thing here, endurance. Cast not away your confidence so that you're bold. He says, you have need of endurance. He says, to walk into the fullness of the promise, endurance needs to be in place. When I look at you going through this process, I need to see endurance. Yes. This is a coach telling his players, you know who's going to win this team? You know who's going to win this fight if you're a boxer, if you're UFC? The one with the most endurance. Yes, there's skill level, and we have to be skilled in our Christian walk. We have to be skilled with the knowledge of the Word of God and releasing our faith. But it matters not if you have no endurance to you. If you wake up the next day and say, well, that was a waste of time. Nothing happened. No. You're enduring. You might feel weak. You might feel downtrodden. You might feel like giving up. You might feel like giving in the towel, throwing in the towel. But I'm telling you, you're working on that endurance. Glory to God. I'm telling you. Let's go ahead and in Romans chapter 5, turn with me, and we'll see how far we get here, because I want a purpose to minister what the Lord has on me. But, you know, I'm telling you, it's just been on my heart that, there's so much, and there's so much that I want to share and give, but I want to be sensitive to just minister what the Lord has for me. And, I was going to start in the book of Genesis, and I figured we would hit, Revelation by the time, the daylight savings would kick in, and that would be good. But I do want to get you out here because I want you to come back. Amen. And so praise the Lord. But in Romans chapter 5, Pastor was ministering along these lines, and I want to preface this, because this is going to be our help in establishing that endurance. And Pastor, when he was talking about atonement, he was reading from Romans chapter 5, and it says, therefore, being justified by faith, starting in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And then I get down to verse 3, and it says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience or endurance, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto me. So we get up there in verse 3, and it says, not only so, God's established atonement. He's made us perfectly in right standing with Him. He's righted all the wrongs on the inside of us. And then verse 3, it says, not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I don't know about you, but the hardest battle is rejoicing in tribulation. Paul, what are you talking about? Rejoice in tribulation? I'm rejoicing in nothing. When I'm getting whooped upon in tribulation, I ain't rejoicing in nothing. He says, you're missing the picture. You rejoice in the tribulation and resistance because it's working something on the inside of you, endurance. And people, I'm telling you, this might sound like a broken record here. People that understand the process of faith, when tribulation comes, they begin to rejoice. Because movement has been in place that has caused me to be resistant. If I'm going backwards with the wave, there's no resistance there. I'm not fatigued. I'm not hurt. But the minute I start moving forward and these things are coming at me, all of a sudden, tribulation is happening. I'm being resisted. Why? Because you weren't where you were. Wow. You're moving forward. People wonder, oh man, ever since I got born again, accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, it's been hell on earth for me. Rejoice in that. You're not where you were. You're moving forward. You're taking ground in Jesus' name. People that understand that say, I'm rejoicing at this resistance because this is process. This is building an endurance in me. Pretty soon, I'm getting used to this weight, and all of a sudden, I can take on more. When I first started at the gym, I'm telling you what, or if you get out of the gym for a while and you go back, them weights are heavy. Those weights are heavy. Stop running for a while or jogging or doing any cardio activity for a while. All of a sudden, you get back on the treadmill. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. My legs are, you know, feel like lead blocks. I'm telling you what, we're all cabin fever inside. We haven't had to, push the snowblower. I'm telling you what, start getting out and doing yard work in the spring. Start mowing the lawn. It's like, oh, dear Jesus. Like, I wish I were, 20 years old again, and that's not the case. Because you start feeling things. Why? Because you've entered into a place of resistance. But he's saying here, when you come into that place where it feels like death sometimes, rejoice in that. Because you've started taking ground to walk into the promise that God has for you. People that realize and understand that, they don't run, tuck and run every hard place that they come to. They said, wait a second, what's this working on me? Because now I'm starting to get stronger. And if I can build that endurance on the inside of me, all of a sudden I'm taking this ground, and then I'm moving forward and I'm taking this ground, and I'm moving forward and I'm taking this ground, until you're in the full manifestation of the promise of God. We're going to end right here. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Hebrews chapter 12. Look what it says in the first couple verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, or run with endurance, the race that is set before us. And he says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one, Jesus, through Jesus, is the author that started the seed form and the finisher. He's the one that will see it through. How will he see it through? By the price he paid on the cross. That's him seeing it through, that everything, every promise is yes and amen through Jesus Christ. We're not trying to get something. We're going back to what has already been in place and grabbing hold of that and using our endurance to bring it and manifest it here on the earth. And it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. It said, for the joy that was set before him, endured. This is so important. This is so important. For the joy that was set for salvation for all mankind gave Jesus the endurance. What is it that you're believing God for? What promise are you standing on? I'm not believing God for anything. Well, that's what you're going to get, nothing. If you're not believing for nothing, you're going to get nothing. What is it you're standing on? Do you see yourself walking in full health? Do you see yourself walking in full provision? Do you see yourself walking anxiety-free? Do you see yourself walking in fullness of joy? Do you see yourself in that? I heard a testimony of a minister there was a woman. Signs and wonders and miracles happened through this guy. And this woman was actually blind. And so he went up and was asked to pray for her. She came up in the healing line. Well, that's a creative miracle. When you're blind, you don't need healing for that. You need a creative miracle for that. So this woman came up, and he laid hands on her, and her eyes were closed. And he said to her, he says, he prayed for her. He, released his faith for her, and he says, can you see? And she started to open her eyes. He said, shut your eyes. So she shut her eyes. He says, can you see? And she started opening her eyes. He says, shut your eyes. In other words, he's saying this, until you can see yourself seeing with your sight and seeing with your eyes, you'll never have it. You think it's all about some natural manifestation, but you've avoided the process. Jesus said, for the joy that was set before him gave him the endurance to carry it through. It's the same thing. Do you see yourself prosperous? Do you see yourself with a restored family? Do you see yourself with no anxiety, no worries, no cares? Do you see yourself with no depression? Do you see yourself in walking in the fullness of his promise? Because that's what will give you the prize of your endurance. A farmer puts a seed in the ground because he knows that the corn is coming. And what I can do with that corn once I get it, once I can do with that crop, I see the reward and I know what I can do with it. You need to see yourself in the promises of God on the reward to give you the endurance to get there. Well, where are you going? Well, I don't know. I'm just endurance. Well, you're running in circles. What do you believe in God for? I don't know. I'm establishing endurance. Well, good. That's good that you're establishing endurance. But what's the joy that's set before you? Is it to get people born again? Is it get people saved? Like, what's your motivation? What is it that is set before you as a reward of prize? Well, honestly, and we go through seasons, I'm just trying to make it to tomorrow. This world's whooped on me for these last couple years. I'm just trying to make it to next week. I'd be happy if I make it through this year the way things are going. Okay, but get the word of God because Jesus died for you. Don't settle for a lesser prize than what he's done. It comes back to what I was sharing at the beginning of the service. Where do you see yourself by faith? What word in scripture are you standing on? What can you see yourself walking? Man, I'll tell you, if it's a new job, I'll tell you, this new job is going to be such a blessing. And I'm going to begin to rejoice in my new job right now here through the process. I'm being resisted because I lost my job. I'm being resisted because it's not cutting ends meet. And I'm walking into a place of knowing the who of my provider, my God, the Heavenly Father. And so I'm building this endurance to walking into the fullness of those things. You need to have that joy set before you. You have to have that promise that will establish your endurance. Well, I'm building endurance. Well, praise God, you're building endurance, but what's the destination of it? And it's not about things. You seek the Lord with your heart, but understand that he gave so that you could have his highest and best. He paid his highest and best for you. And what happens is because people weigh the cost of endurance. Like I'll tell you right now, like, I don't want to run a 5K right now. I have no endurance. So right now, seriously, I don't want to start. I don't want to start running just because. But I'll tell you what, if I knew that there was a great prize for me completing that, all of a sudden, for the joy that was set before me, now I got some pep in my step, and now I'm embracing endurance because I see better than where I am right now. That has to matter something to you. That has to matter. See, human nature is like, hey, I'm picking and choosing my battles. You know, I don't want to fight this fight. I know I'm believing for this, but I know that there's cost to. You know what? I'll settle for this amount of defeat. No. There's a price that was paid on your behalf. Waiting on your endurance to walk into the fullness of it. You choose to walk in the fullness of everything that the Lord has for us. I don't know if this helped you here tonight. It helped me. Praise God. I'm telling you, your faith is a process, but don't be stupid. Know that the process requires endurance. It's going to take, well, you know, I'm up there in age right now and I can't do anything. No. What are you believing God for? I guarantee you in your natural life experience, there's things that are water off a duck's back to you that some of these younger generations are like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? It's like, nope, you've been there, you've done that. And it's not about age. It's about walking in the fullness of what God has for you through Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, let's take this world. Let's pay that price of endurance and walk in the fullness of what he has. This is a word for me. I preach to myself. Whenever I prepare and I get something for everybody, this is me. I'm in no like, oh yeah, you're up there preaching the word. No, this is an honor for me. When I preach this, I'm preaching to myself. because there's areas in my life where it's like, man, I wanted to be lazy and slothful because it's like, yeah, I know that he's got that for me, but you know what? I'm kind of comfortable where I'm at. You know, like I don't know if I want to pay that price. No. Don't be disrespectful to the price that was established through Jesus. Let's get it. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you for your word here tonight. We thank you that, Father, we know your kingdom is seed being sown into the ground. That, Father, that it starts out in seed form. First we see the blade, then the corn, then the full ear in the corn. We know, Father, that you're not deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. In due season we'll reap if we faint not. And so, Father, we purpose in our hearts to move forward and take ground, understanding and rejoicing that we're establishing endurance on the inside of us. That, Father, that is all part of the process of endurance to moving forward for the high prize, the high reward of the high calling. That, Father, we can be ambassadors of the gift of Jesus Christ on the inside of us, that we can take ground to be a pillar of stability to those that we come in contact with. And Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I don't know everyone here tonight, but maybe you're here and you hear a message like this, but maybe you need to know the very first steps in that process with the Lord. Maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Well, I'll tell you, God sent his Son to die for you, that you wouldn't have to go to a place of separation from him. People say, why does God send people to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. People are already going to hell. He sent Jesus so that you would not have to go to hell. So you say, well, how is that so? How do I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Well, the Bible tells us that. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. It's simply accepting him in your heart and confessing with your mouth. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's by grace, not of works, the Bible says. So all you have to do is be sincere with him. If you're here tonight and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I tell you what, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up or come down forward. But right there in your seat, all heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, all I'm going to ask you to do is lift your hand. As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then we're all going to pray together, and you can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior right there in your seat. Is there anybody here tonight that's never made Jesus the Lord of their life? Can I see your hand? Can you just raise it for me right now? As soon as I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. Father, I don't see any hands here tonight. Father, I just trust that we're all walking with you. If there's anyone at the sound of my voice that has never made you Lord and Savior of their life, either here in this congregation or by live stream, I pray, Father, that they wouldn't depart from this earth until they've done that, been given the opportunity to confess you as Lord. Father, we thank you for your word here tonight. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your instruction. We give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. How about we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's just love on him a minute before we dismiss here this evening. Father, we just bless you. We thank you. We thank you we're changed by your word. We're going to go out being doers of it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Glory to God. You are dismissed.